there's a saying in Chinese that you slide on the watermelon peel and you just basically like surf in your life. Basically, like, don't think too much about it and you just slide on the watermelon peel and it's just gonna lead you forward. But, you know, you don't know where you're gonna end up to. And I really live by that mantra.
Hey, everyone. This is Bhargavi.
It's Michelle.
And it's Sinis. You're listening to the To Be Human podcast. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the To Be Human podcast. Spring is finally in full swing, and the temperatures are slowly getting warmer. Recently, I finally took some time to pack all of my winter clothes back into my suitcases, and I'm so excited to start exploring the outdoors again. Michelle, do you have anything fun planned for this season?
I am super excited now that the sun is coming out and things are opening up this year, which is really great. So looking forward to just seeing friends, hitting the patios, a number of concerts lined up, which I'm super excited for. Live music has definitely been missed, and maybe some trips to the cottage or a little bit of weekend traveling coming up in the future, hopefully. So just excited to get back out there, seeing people. What about you? Any major plans for the summer?
I hear you. And speaking of trips, you recently visited New York and we actually got to meet up for a second time in person, which is really awesome. But for me, it's similar. I think right now I'm just trying to enjoy the time in New York because finally the weather is getting better and I'm just so excited. I've been spending a lot of weekend trips in different neighborhoods in the city, and I've also been dog sitting a lot recently, which has been really nice because I just started exploring all of the different facets of the city and seeing more of Queens, seeing more of Brooklyn, and all of that has just been so exciting. So I can't wait for summer, honestly. But I'm so glad we got to catch up again. And again, it was so great to see you in New York. But there's another person I'm very excited to catch up with today, and that is my childhood friend, Clara. So Clara is a first-generation Chinese-Swiss who grew up in the vibrant cities of Zurich and Shanghai. Raised by a single immigrant mom, she grew up surrounded by resilient and strong-minded women who continue to inspire and shape her perspectives on the world. Clara eventually moved to the United Kingdom for university and now lives in London. Welcome to Be Human, Clara.
Hi.
Welcome. Well, Clara, just reading your bio and your story was so interesting because you are the very first Chinese Swiss person that I have ever come across. So that is definitely a unique blend of backgrounds. And I'm very excited to just learn more about your life story. So to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Switzerland?
It was a long time ago because, as I said, we met in China too. So I like grew up in Switzerland and I spent there like 10 years of my life. Growing up in Switzerland as an immigrant is the same as everyone else, you know, growing up in a foreign country. But I think the only difference is just like in Switzerland, we're very niche. So we're in this very, very small group and everyone knows everyone. Yeah, it's just this very, very small group. Like Switzerland isn't an immigrant country, so we don't have a lot of immigrants, not a lot of diversity. So it's tough, but it's also interesting.
You brought up a very interesting point because you mentioned that our like group is very niche in a country like Switzerland. And my parents immigrated to Germany, which is very close to Switzerland. And back then they also mentioned that they were the only people in their city who looked like them. And that's why like everyone who was from China back then knew each other. And to this day, you know, I'm friends with some of the children of the friends that my parents had met back then in Germany. So it's really such a small community that because of the fact that they were the only ones in that country also grew very close. So I think that's really like a magical connection that a lot of people share. So speaking of your childhood in Switzerland, what are some of the like core memories that you recall from there? Or is there like maybe one experience or one story that you will never forget to this day?
When actually when I was reading the question, I was like trying to like find something that was really stuck with me. And I like searched in my brain like for my memories. And I think what really stuck with me one time was like when I was really, really small, when I was in kindergarten, I had like no recollection of anything else apart from this experience. When it's your birthday, you have to bring food to school, right? Like invite your friends to eat cake. And for my first birthday in kindergarten, my parents actually came and made baozi with the red bean paste. We were awarded like the 90s, right? And no one like knew like, what is this thing? And also we didn't live in a big city in Switzerland. So literally no one has seen this fluffy thing with the brownish paste in there. Because when you're young, you don't really understand like, oh, you know, if people are going to accept your food, or what does that even mean? For me, it's just something I've grown up with. But I was super, super lucky that when my parents came and made these things, everyone from my class was so interested and so just like surprised about these things. It's definitely such a good experience because obviously, you know, there's some worse experience that people have gone through. So I'm in this way, I'm pretty lucky that my first, you know, food experience that you bring to school was a good one. So that was something that stuck with me. This is maybe like everything else I blurred out and that's the only thing I remember.
That's such an interesting story because I think a very common one that you hear in America is when immigrant kids bring food from their culture to class and they don't get that reaction. Yeah, they get something very othering. And you also had mentioned that Switzerland isn't an immigrant country. There's not a lot of diversity. So assuming that you were one of the only Chinese or Asian looking kids growing up, how did that impact your sense of identity growing up in terms of, am I Swiss? Am I Chinese? How you fit in maybe with your classmates?
As you said, like growing up until I moved back to Shanghai, I was very the only Asian looking person around. There was like maybe one Japanese family that was in this big city. And when you're young, unless you get really confronted with anything very negative, you don't think about it. In kindergarten, I didn't even speak German because at home we just spoke Chinese. So I learned German in school, in primary school. But I think as a kid, you just want to play. That's, I think, a good thing in a way because kids are quite, you know, pure. So they don't necessarily confront you with very negative things unless it's about like, you know, you stole my toy, blah, blah, blah. That's all. Personally, for me, as I said, like, I've been very lucky. If it's in America and Europe, there's always those racial slurs that you get shouted out on the streets. Dennis knows we all get shouted konnichiwa on the streets, but you don't understand when you're young. Like, in a way, it's good that I didn't understand because it didn't really scar me. But obviously, like, for our parents, it's difficult to go through. So I think in this sense, there's always cons and pros.
I'm really glad to hear that, especially because that is an experience that not all people can recall from their childhood. I think one thing that I hear a lot from your story is that when you were in Switzerland, you were still so young that you were barely registering anything, and it wasn't really during your formative years. And from our shared background, I know that you spent a lot of your formative years in Shanghai and eventually immigrated to the UK yourself for college. What I'm, of course, curious about across all these three different countries, how do you feel like your cultural identity has shifted over the years?
It always shifts, right? You know, if you meet new people, if you have new experiences, if you live in different countries, it always shifts. For me, I think, interestingly enough, at home, like, we always spoke like Chinese. In summer holidays, we will always go back home. And because when I grew up, I never kind of registered it. I just kind of like went with the flow. So I never also like asked myself, do I feel more Swiss? Do I feel more Chinese? It's just like how it was. I never like deeply thought about it. Even like when I moved to Shanghai and went to the school, because our school was still very German, I never dug deeper into what it means to be an immigrant or what the Asian or the Chinese culture in our family means to me. Interestingly enough, only when I moved to the UK when I studied media and comms, when we had to choose our own topics and our essays, my lecturer really encouraged me to look for the topics that really interest me. And in this way, I was able to kind of get closer to, you know, our culture, what it means to be an immigrant, what it means to be a banana, you know. Also, I think the media that we consume has a huge part in discovering ourselves. When I lived in Switzerland, I never like consumed Chinese media. Even in China, you lived longer in Shanghai than me, and I lived there for like, you know, 8 years, and I never kind of consumed Chinese media up until I moved here and got introduced to different types of music. As I said, it really depends what kind of people you hang out with. In the UK, I'm really lucky. It's very diverse. And a lot of people are very open-minded about different cultures, about different media that we consume. So in this way, I have kind of a group that I can share this with. If you're on your own, it's kind of difficult, right? So definitely lucky to have people that, you know, we can talk about things like these with.
You mentioned earlier that you had never really thought about, am I more Swiss? Am I more Chinese growing up? So if I were to ask you that question now, what would be your answer? Or is there something that maybe makes you uniquely a blend of all of those?
Even like you asking me this question now, I'm still like, how do I evaluate this? Even when I was younger, when people asked me, oh, do you like China more? Or do you like Switzerland more? I really like not hated this question, but I really like kind of didn't think it was necessary to ask this question. I think anyone who gets asked this question, it's very hard for us to evaluate, because on days we're a bit more Chinese and on other days you're more Swiss. So I always answer that wherever my family is home. If I would like stay here in the UK for more than 30, 40 years, if you come back to me and ask me this question, I would still say these parts have the same value in my whole life experience. So I can never answer, do I like this more or less?
I 100% agree. It's such a challenging question. I think one of the things that boils down to it is that it's one of the questions where it's less about the actual answer, like the final result, but it's more about the journey to getting to that answer, the introspection that you take, thinking about it. And as you mentioned, evaluating, okay, which one of my traits are perhaps more of the one culture, which ones are more of the other, but it's always fluid. It changes day by day, or like in a certain situation, even you might be more Swiss. In another situation, you might be more Chinese. So thank you for highlighting that. Also, thanks so much for sharing all of your stories from your childhood in Switzerland. As someone who grew up in Germany, a lot of what you mentioned deeply resonates with me. But now I want to jump to a slightly different topic. So we mentioned in the beginning that you were raised by a single immigrant mother and that it had a very deep impact on you as a person. So your parents had immigrated to Switzerland together. What was the reason for them to go separate ways eventually?
It's very difficult. I think as a bystander, it's always difficult to answer, because whatever I say, I haven't experienced what they have experienced. Generally speaking, for every parent, divorce is not something horrible. You know, we should really have a lot of respect that people have come to that point in their life where they're like, you know, we're mature enough and we can, you know, separate and enjoy each other, because at some point, there's no point. One big thing that was their age difference is like huge. So my dad grew up in the Cultural Revolution. So the way of thinking is much more different and also difficult for other people to understand, because, you know, people who've gone through that, they've gone through very traumatizing stuff. And like even now, like communicating with him is very different because of the mental mindset. For sure, that's just how like my family works. I mean, everyone's parents work differently. But at the end of the day, I'm just happy that they made the decision, because I always get this, oh my God, like especially from my Asian relatives or friends are like, okay, I'm so sorry that your parents divorced. I'm just like, no, it's great. Because at some point, you don't have to hold on to it anymore.
Thank you so much for talking about something that for many people may be quite personal and quite vulnerable, but it is a large part of your lived experience and what made you who you are. For people who may not be, I guess, as familiar with what it means to those ideologies growing up in the Cultural Revolution, I was curious if you could maybe provide some examples of what your father's viewpoints and ideologies would be like in contrast to maybe what you believe or how your mother thought of.
So like a big thing is like parents never talk about this. So I was just kind of like sometimes assuming stuff. Obviously, it's a very big taboo thing. You don't talk about this. And communication is very different. I think if you've gone through something so traumatic, you're very radical in every sense. So it doesn't matter if it's just very banal day-to-day things, or you have to decide on a big issue, or you see politics, or you see a worldview. If you've gone through traumatic experiences, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have a radical opinion. So that's something which is very difficult to accept. And because, you know, what people have gone through the Cultural Revolution, their self has been like ripped apart. For example, my mom really values respecting other people. She's like, you know, whatever people have opinions on, you have to respect it. I grew up with this kind of mental opinion that, you know, whatever people say, you accept it. And then you just be open-minded to everything. And I think the huge difference between my dad and my mom is my dad had like a very strong set of opinions that he would kind of push it on to other people. So sometimes it's very uncomfortable. His mindset is like stuck in what happened before. So like you can't, it's very difficult to evolve with them. I talked to Dennis about this too. And I think it doesn't matter if it's your family, if it's your friends, the way to stay in each other's lives is to evolve with each other. That's very difficult. So for sure, I understand where my mom is coming from, why she made those decisions. And also I understand why my dad makes those decisions. So you have to really understand, where do they come from? Like, why do they make their choices? We say immigrants have a lot of scars, and for sure, like we as first gens have scars, but also your parents are scarred. So it's important to understand. And then some things you can't accept, you just can't accept. So you just have to walk away from it sometimes.
That's a really good point. And thank you for highlighting the cultural context that surrounded your parents as they were growing up as people. Because I think one of the important aspects you mentioned is during the Cultural Revolution, one of the things that happened is that your identity was robbed or it was reconstructed. You know, you were put into these different classes, and then these different classes were made to fight each other. And then you had to either conform or flee or assume another identity. And this shape shifting is what a lot of people back then in China had to go through. And they definitely carry a lot of trauma from that. And a lot of that is processed, unfortunately, in their personal relationships. Now that we talked a lot about the relationship between your parents, I want to shift the focus a little bit and talk about your mother, because you mentioned that you were very proud to have been raised by her. So how has your mom impacted you as you were growing up? And could you just tell us a little bit more about her?
She is someone who literally is like the coolest person. She's like my friend. I tell her everything. And it sounds like kind of scary, because in Asian families or in Chinese families, it's like, oh, you know, your parents never compliment you or whatever that. I'm just like, oh no, you know, actually my mom does that kind of stuff. And she's just like a rogue person. She's just like bending stereotypes. Especially, I think Asian women have this stereotype portrayed in mainstream media that they're the dragon lady, that they are, you know, tiger moms, and the way that they're gonna say sorry to you is gonna cut an apple and give it to you and feed you food. I think that's like so unjustified to like any Asian mom that is out there, because this is not just about those traits. With my mom, she's pretty independent. She's very open-minded and she's really fun to be around. So I think that really helped me growing up because whenever we had something that was a bit hard, or, you know, we've gone through a tough time, she would never be too negative about it. Obviously, she has so much pressure on her, like raising me, earning for us, and whatever not. But she always tried to be there for me. So I got very close to her because she put time into like our relationship. Obviously, I don't want to like generalize or like stereotype any other moms out there, because again, it's not justified. But she was never the dragon mom. It's not all about school. It's not about grades. She understood if studying might not be my thing. And she also expressed her feelings, which I think is super, super important. If she's a single mom, it's me. And then, you know, we're not like clashing on each other. If you want to have a good relationship, you have to grow with that person. And for us, it's the same. Like, for example, whatever music I listen to, I'm going to share it to her. Like, I show her and she's going to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to have a listen. And she like knows what hobbies I'm doing. And I encourage her to do more like trendy stuff. So in this way, we're like sharing our ideas and our worldviews. And it's also like wholesome in a way, because in this way, I can always open up to her, because she is a bit different to maybe other moms out there. But also it's because we always say, you know, we only have each other. And if it's not just us, it's difficult in this very scary world.
That is such a beautiful story to hear. And I'm so glad that both you and your mom not only had each other, but were able to put effort and cultivate such an amazing relationship as well as a friendship. We've discussed in previous episodes the whole process of, especially when you're in your 20s, you really learn more about your parents, not just as like a parental figure, but as a human being, and want to put more time into getting to know about their past and how they became the person that they are. And a lot of us, as we become adults ourselves, we start to understand them more, the decisions that they make. So is there any, I guess, key moment or memory that you might have that majorly impacted your perception of your mom and maybe changed your relationship?
I don't actually think there was something where I'm like, oh my God, she's like bright new shiny person in front of me. The person that she is has always been the person that she is. That's also where I can be so honest with her, because she is the person she is, and she's never like shown me another face of her, if that makes sense. Sometimes maybe Asian families, it's very difficult to share feelings, especially coming from your parents. You will never see them vulnerable. You're like freaking superheroes and they just thrive through any hard times. Because my mom is a single mom, she had to go through a lot of hard times, and I've always seen that. And I'm very thankful to be able to see her vulnerable side, because that makes her more human. There's no distance between us. So I don't think there was a point where I was like, oh my God, she changed, or like, I've known her better now. For me, it's always has been a process. There has been things that we haven't talked about maybe when I was a bit younger. Especially now when I'm a bit older, I do understand also like where she's coming from, what issues she might have had with her parents. I think it's always like a process to open up little by little, even if it's with your family.
I'm so glad to hear that your mom has been a constant in your life, and that there never was a time where you felt uncomfortable with her. You were always able to be your full self, but still in that process, still seeing each other as human beings, were constantly changing and evolving, and you both grew together. That is such a beautiful relationship that you have. And I'm so glad you share that. And I hope that you continue building on that. Something else I want to pivot to, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but there was another drastic change in your life, and that is when you moved to Shanghai in the late 2000s and started attending the German school in Shanghai. From our earlier conversations, I remember you mentioned that you felt like there were a lot more people who were actually looking like you at that school, but still you felt like you were living in a bubble of international schools, and it was one that was just full of privilege, full of entitlement, and this never-ending pursuit of success, and everyone just kind of aiming for the same thing. I'm curious, how did this experience in Shanghai actually shape you as a person and your perspective on life?
So first of all, I'm like, thinking back on it, I think maybe you'd probably agree with me, like we were lucky. Like I had friends like you, like, you know, we look like each other and we were kind of in a safe space because we lived in China and we were able to enjoy the culture and the food and whatever not. For sure, I'm always going to be like, you know, we're very lucky to be able to be in that position as an immigrant and then be able to live with people that had gone through the same things and make friends that came from the same background. For me, I think also with any experience, like there's not so cool stuff around that you've experienced because we were, again, like we always live in this bubble. We've known each other for like more than 10 years. So we've grown up with the people that we've been in primary school. For me specifically, because I was raised by a single mom and for example, other families came back to Shanghai because they were expats and they were sent back because they had really great jobs, which is just not in my situation. You just have this like mind going on. It's like, you know, other people, their parents, such good jobs and stuff like that. Also, I think our school is just so full of model minorities, which is great, obviously, right? But also a lot of pressure going around. Just from the beginning on, obviously, I was different because the starting point was different. I didn't have what I thought like a perfect family. And when I was younger, I was really like, oh my God, you know, I was very envious of whoever and, you know, their dad and their mom all look so happy. It gets to you if you're young because you don't understand. Obviously, it's nothing to complain about because, again, we're very privileged. We were lucky to grow up with people that looked like us. When you're younger, you don't understand that everyone goes through different experiences and you just assume stuff. You don't ever share things like my family might be divorced. Everyone has different experiences, but like if you're in this bubble, it's hard to be the odd one out.
Yes, I totally hear you, especially when you mentioned the fact that when you were young, you kind of just took everything for granted and you assumed that whatever way you saw the world is how everyone else experienced the world. It takes a lot of time to grow out of this perception and start to understand that everyone has a different lived experience. And I think that's also part of what we want to highlight in To Be Human. One other thing I wanted to talk about is you shared a lot about your personal experience about moving back to China. I'm curious how it was for your mom who moved back to China as a single mother. From my experience with living in China, divorces were something that were often frowned upon when you brought it up in a family conversation. I think you have also alluded to that. It's something that people consider to bring shame to the family. It's like you lose face. It's not a topic you want to talk about. So I'm curious, how has this impacted your mother and her experience with her surroundings when she was back in China all these years?
Obviously, I just share as a bystander. I could never fully grasp what she has gone through because no one would understand if you have never gone through this kind of stuff. First of all, there's a big stigma in China. I don't know if it's in other Asian countries, but as a single mom, you're like at a disadvantage somehow. And people also see you a bit differently because marriage and having like a model family in China is seen as a norm. So in hindsight, if you're divorced and then you have a child on your toe, depending on people, they might find it very shameful because it shows that you're not able to withhold your marriage. Or because a lot of people also, like, when they want to divorce, their parents tell them, don't divorce because it's ugly. For her, being a single mom is obviously not easy. I remember she also told me about this, that people ask her, you know, you should remarry and stuff. People assume that you're not happy because you're single and you have a child on your toe. And people assume that you're not able to provide. But actually, everyone lives their own lives and everyone has their own difficult things to deal with life. Being single and being divorced and having a grown-up kid doesn't define you. And I think that is also what she made people very clear about. Obviously, it's difficult because people don't know you or people have these stereotypes, and it's not very transparent in these kind of culture to talk about these things. So the stigma is definitely there. But for me, I just found it really cool that she kind of always dodged these balls, because whenever people throw like shade on her, she would be like, I'm just going to live my own life. And that definitely rubbed onto me, because as a young woman growing up, we have so many expectations and we have so many labels that get stuck on us. What she really taught me was, you know, you just be yourself, and everyone goes through difficult things and good things. So you cannot really evaluate yourself with other people. We lived in that bubble, right? And there weren't a lot of single moms checking her child into like a private school. At the end of the day, what she has gone through rubbed on, and I kind of grew also in that experience. She taught me to do your own thing and be accepting of what happened. In hindsight, I shared that same experience with her. Like, sometimes she would be a bit like sad about that she couldn't provide me financially more. But then I tell her, like, you already fought through life on your own. What's the matter here? This is not a huge deal. Everyone goes through different stuff in life. And at the end of the day, you really should be proud of what you've accomplished.
Your mom sounds like a true fighter, and I'm so happy to hear that you were able to have such a powerful figure and a woman in your life growing up. I relate to a lot of that, even though my mom's experience may be different. She herself is also an immigrant mother, refugee, came starting a new life. And I think the common thread that all moms can probably agree with, or parents in general, is that they live for their children and to build the best life that they can for the future of their kids. So they will do absolutely everything. And to hear about some of the things that they went through, I can't even fathom having to go through it myself. Maybe it is a bit of a Western viewpoint on my part, but I know that it can be very easy for people to stay just because it's maybe familiar, or may not just be an Asian thing, but for many cultures, not wanting your child to have a broken family. So they'll stay together, even if it's realistically not the best thing for them. Honestly, power to your mom for choosing to take on that responsibility of raising a child on her own, to leave something, even if that may have been everything that she knew. And I mean, she's done obviously a wonderful job. So hats off to her. Thank you so much for sharing and for being so honest and transparent, Clara. You did touch on some important topics that I think can sometimes be hard to talk about or overlooked, and one of those being generational and family trauma. As humans, we're always shaped by our family, by our culture, and the surroundings that we grew up in, and it takes all of the ups and downs along the way to make us who we are. So now that we are in our 20s and we're reaching adulthood, how have your conversations with your mom evolved as you reflect on the past together?
I wouldn't necessarily say that like we mastered all of our fears. There's still like loads of different things going on, and life is never easy, right? The relationship that I have with my mom now is that I can also be her mental pillow and be like, you know, when she's sad, she can tell me about her stuff. It's just not me ranting about my own stuff. Because I feel like when we turn into young adults, we're like in our 20s, we kind of realize we are more aware of our surroundings. And for me, that's like, okay, I want to have an open ear to whatever my mom is saying, because she has always been there for me. So therefore, I am definitely going to be there for her. Not obviously financially, but definitely mentally. I always like tell her, you can always tell me stuff. For me, I always like encourage my friends around me to do that too. Just to have like a very long conversation with your parents. Obviously, it's difficult to always talk about feelings, especially with Asian parents. I'm just like this huge promoter now to like share your feelings with your parents. It will help you in your life. But no, honestly, it helps them also, because I think, again, what I said before, I think for immigrants, it's also very difficult to open up about their hard times and about their vulnerable sides. So I'm definitely telling my mom, I'm here also, like, this is also a safe place. You can also rant about stuff that you want to rant about.
Clara, that's so sweet that you create the safe space that you feel like your mom has provided as you were growing up. And now that you are a full-blown adult, you can provide that to her. And I'm almost a little envious thinking about it because I don't think this is a type of connection that I am sharing with my parents right now. But, you know, we're working on it and hopefully we'll get there one day.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I understand. It's very difficult. It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it just, again, underlines the fact that we are all human beings. We are all shaped by the family we grew up in, by the culture that we are part of, by the surroundings that we have experienced as we are growing up. And there's just so many stimulations in life and so many emotions that you go through mm-hmm. as you grow up, which I think is the fascinating part about life, isn't it? Just to bring a more lighthearted twist to everything, you mentioned that you talk to your mom about everything. So, you know, what are some of the other like fun topics that you talk about in your day-to-day? Is there anything related to your hobbies or anything you do that is something that you like to talk about?
Fun things that we talk about. Dennis knows our parents are stuck at home because of lockdown. So she has been watching the newest K-dramas. And it's so funny because personally, I don't watch them that often because not that much time and pretty time consuming. But she has been watching them and telling me about whatever or not she saw today. One thing I'm very, very proud of is she can actually distinguish members in K-pop groups, which is such a random stuff to know. It's like trivia. I want to have a cool mom, right? Being very selfish, so I can just like feed her stuff and be like, watch this, look at this, distinguish these people. And she actually does a very good job. So it's pretty fun because she remembers. I think that's also like her mindset. She's like, I know, I don't want to be old. I want to catch up with whatever you guys are interested in. Even though I live in UK and she lives elsewhere, she knows all of my friends that I make, like even people that she hasn't met before. It's important to share, sometimes maybe overshare, but there's never oversharing with your family. So it's cool.
Ooh, that's a hot take. No oversharing with family? Okay. Well, yeah, I can think of a couple things I wouldn't share. But then again, I also have a very different relationship with my parents. So, I mean, I'm glad to hear that that is how you feel about it.
It should be a TikTok trend. Like, hashtag overshare with your Asian parents and challenge each other.
I overshare with literally everyone but my parents.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's not easy. I think like mine is a bit like the other way around. I overshare with my mom and maybe like I don't overshare so much with my friends.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. It reminded me of this one YouTube series from one of my favorite channels, Cuts, where they had this truth or drink game that they would film some participants playing that with their parents. And they would create so many moments where the parents or the kid would just be oversharing. And I felt so uncomfortable watching some of these, but it was still very intriguing. So
you guys should do another like YouTube channel and do that with Asian people. They're either going to love you real hard or hate you guys.
I don't know. Right now, I'm still very comfortable under the cloak of my voice and not sharing my face too much part of this podcast. So, but you know, maybe one day we'll have a To Be Human YouTube channel. I think we already have it set up, but we just haven't used it yet because we don't have any video content. But thanks for the inspiration.
Well, that is all great. If your mom ever wants to talk K-dramas, send her my way. Or K-pop, I will gladly keep her entertained with all of that.
She'd be like, yay. I can connect with young people.
Amazing. We, up until this point, have really talked a lot about your past and where you grew up and your family and how that has really shaped you into who you are. So we just wanted to spend a little time as well talking about what you're up to now. And I guess, what is the dream, or what good do you really want to work towards bringing into the world moving forward?
Oh, this is like a huge question. Probably like you ask the president that question, he'll be like, I don't know.
Well, Clara just started a new job. Accepted a new job. Yeah. So that is something.
These days, talking to my family, especially those stuck in lockdown, we always like very zen. We've been a very zen family. We're never going to throw big words out because you don't want to be overachievers. There's a saying in Chinese that you slide on the watermelon peel and you just basically like surf in your life. Basically, like, don't think too much about it and you just slide on the watermelon peel and just going to lead you forward. But, you know, you don't know where you're going to end up to. And I really live by that mantra. No pandemic. I think Dennis and I will very agree on. We hope that we can go back to Shanghai next year. I don't think this year is not going to happen. I'm a very wholesome person, just wish I'm happy and that I can pay my rent and I do something that is fun and that my friends are happy and healthy.
That's all you can wish for, honestly.
Absolutely. And yes, no more COVID. That's what I'm hoping for. My parents have been locked down since, I don't know, more than a month already.
More than a month.
My brother was supposed to graduate this year from high school, so his graduation ceremony got canceled. Even his final exam got canceled. I guess that was one of the upsides of it. But still, for him, it was like the end of a chapter, and the fact that he can celebrate it, I think that's pretty sad. Going back, the mantra that you shared, I think that's such a cute analogy, just like slipping on a banana peel or watermelon peel and just like sliding through this thing called life. And I think that's a great way to put it, right? There's always so many unexpected changes. You can never plan ahead. Mm-hmm. You can make yourself a goal. Like, you might get there, but you never know, and you never know how you will get there. So sometimes, you know, just take the slide that is life and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for sharing your story and part of your mother's story with us today. It was so wonderful to hear all the facets of you growing up in all these different countries and seeing how both you and her have developed throughout time and made you into the person that you are and that she is today. So I am so, so happy and so, so envious of the relationship that you share. One thing that we always like to do at the end of our podcast is to highlight your presence on social media, because I'm sure our listeners would love to continue to follow your stories and see what you're up to as you continue sliding on the banana peel of life. So for listeners who are curious, where can they find you on social media?
I'm very active on Instagram. So if you want to discover Chinese songs, follow me on Clara Z Chen. That's where I'm active. And that's where I also share stories about weird, random Asian and Chinese cultural appropriation stuff.
Well, thank you, Clara. And I am so, so excited to catch up with you in person again.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this episode of To Be Human. If you don't already, drop us a follow on Instagram at To Be Human Podcast and follow us on Spotify so you never miss an upcoming episode. Did something in today's discussion resonate with you? Let us know by commenting on our latest Instagram post and maybe even sharing the episode with a friend. Here's to many more vulnerable discussions and fascinating life stories. Until next time.